Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. Turn with me in your Christmas song booklets to song number 3, Joy to the World. Song number 3.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plain repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sound. Sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. Then come to make his blessings flow, and as the curse is found.
Song number 30. Song number 30, O Beautiful Star.
No soul. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving the light for those who long have gone. Guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. A light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of hope of light, guiding the pilgrims through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn. Star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us a light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won, for Jesus
story I'm going to read this morning is called Mary's First Christmas by Walter Wangerin Jr. Yeshi? Yeshi, come. It's getting dark. A woman lights an oil lamp, then kneels and unrolls a flat mattress made of straw. The room is chilly, so she spreads a woolen blanket over the mattress. Yeshi, she calls. It's time for you to sleep now. She lays a little pillow filled with goat's hair at the top of the mattress. This is a treat, since poor people don't usually sleep with pillows. The woman's name is Mary. Yeshi! Now a small boy comes into the room. This is Mary's son. She calls him Yeshi as a nickname, but his real name is Jesus. As Jesus crawls under the blanket, his mother stretches out beside him, saying, "It's a true story, a very important story. It's the story of how you were born. And the reason why I want to tell you to you is love. You should never forget the love. When the bad days come, you should remember that on the night you were born, the whole sky exploded with love, and the angels shouted, and more than 1,000,000 hearts were in love with my baby Jesus on his birthday. My love." The story starts with an angel. "Actually, it was just a plain day for me. I was hoeing in the bean patch, dreaming about the man who was going to marry me soon, Joseph, the carpenter, strong and true. But suddenly the sky went dark. I looked up and saw a great black cloud blocking the sun. It flashed with lightning, and the lightning made thunder, and the thunder seemed to be talking. This thunder did not say, 'Kaboom!' Instead, it said, 'Hello!' The thunder said, 'Hello, you person precious to God. The Lord is with you.'" Who was the thunder talking to? To me. Oh, that scared me. I turned to run, but all at once the sun was shining again because the cloud had drawn narrow like a tornado and was dropping down to the earth, down to the bean patch, down to me. When the tip of the long cloud touched the ground, I looked, and in the middle of the whirling wind, I saw an angel, and the angel was talking to me, but this time his voice sounded like breezes in the cedar trees. "Don't be afraid," he said. "God has chosen you, Mary, to give birth to a baby, a boy, and you shall call his name Jesus." A baby? I dropped the hoe. I almost sat down on the beans. I was going to have a baby boy? "Excuse me, sir," I said, "but I can't have a baby." The angel frowned and blinked at me. "Because," I said, "I don't have a husband yet." Right away, the angel grinned and said, "The Spirit of the Highest of High will overshadow you, and holy shall your baby be, God's son, and your son too. You see, with God, nothing is impossible. For example, how old is your cousin Elizabeth?" "Old," I said, "very old." "Well," said the angel, "in 3 months, that woman who could never bear a baby before is going to become a mother." What do you think of that? Babies? Elizabeth and I were going to have babies, and mine would be Jesus. My baby was going to be you, Yeshi. So I said, "Yes, let it happen to me exactly as you say." Whoosh! The angel and the whirlwind flew straight up into heaven and disappeared. I was so happy that I forgot about the beans, I forgot about the hoe, I even forgot about Joseph the carpenter, strong and true. I raced to my mother and told her I was going on a trip to visit Cousin Elizabeth, and then I was gone. Oh, I felt as if I were flying south over a valley and over the hills, south to the house of Zachariah, the husband of Elizabeth. Just as I was coming up the path, Elizabeth stepped outside, wiping her hands on a towel. "Hello!" I cried. "Hello! Hello!" As soon as she saw me, she dropped the towel and grabbed her big stomach and gasped. "Are you hurt?" I shouted. "Elizabeth, did something hurt you?" But my old wrinkled cousin only started to laugh. She ran to meet me and hugged me and put wet kisses all over my face. "No, I'm not hurt," she laughed. "When you called out, my baby jumped for joy inside of me. Oh, Mary, you are blessed among all the women of the world, and blessed is your baby, too." Well, if Elizabeth was laughing, I laughed harder. I laughed for gladness. I laughed for loving you already, Yeshi. I laughed because of the love of God. But now, close your eyes, Yeshi. It's getting late, and this is enough of the story tonight. Good night, Yeshi. Good night, my beautiful child. The next time we talk about your birthday, I'll tell you a secret, how Joseph almost didn't become your daddy.
no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky, and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there. Jesus, our brother kind and good, was humbly born in a stable rude, and the friendly beasts around him stood. Jesus, our brother kind and good.
I said the donkey, shaggy and brown, I carried his mother up hill and down. I carried them safely to Bethlehem town. I said the donkey, shaggy and brown.
I said the cow, white and red. I gave him my manger for his head. I gave him my hay to pillow his head. I said the cow, all white and red.
I said the sheep with curly horns. I gave him my wool for his blanket warm. He wore my coat on Christmas morn. I said the sheep with curly horn.
I set that up from the rafters, I cooed him to sleep so he would not cry. I cooed him to sleep, my mate and I set that up from the rafters,
every beast by some good spell in a stable dark was glad to tell of the gift he gave Emmanuel. The gift he gave Emmanuel.
Yeshi, it's time to come in. Mary is calling through the window lattice to her son, who is still outside in the night. The straw mattress is already unrolled. Yeshi, come. The room they sleep in is also the room she cooks in. Her small clay stove sits in the far corner, together with three copper cooking pots, four earthen bowls, two water jars, and seven goatskin bags filled with grain and lentils and salt and spices. When they eat, they sit on the floor at a nice round mat. I love you, my son, Mary said. Just as I told you in the story last night, I loved you from the very beginning. Tonight, I'll tell you about someone else who loved you even before you were born. You see, your adopted daddy almost didn't marry me. Joseph's love. I decided to stay with my cousin Elizabeth until her baby was born. That was a long time, about 3 months. And all the while that I was gone, I missed Joseph the carpenter, strong and true. We were engaged to be married. We were betrothed, Yeshi, a very serious thing to be. It's the same as marriage, except that we weren't living in the same house yet. 8 days after Elizabeth's baby was born, I started to travel home to Nazareth. The little life in my stomach slowed me down, but I felt so happy and so excited because I had such wonderful news to tell Joseph. As soon as I was back in Nazareth, I rushed over to Joseph's house and knocked on the door. "Joseph! Joseph, come out!" I called. "Wait till you hear what God is doing for us." The door opened up and there was Joseph, big as a bear, grinning and nodding and spreading his arms. I ran straight into those arms and he hugged me with his wonderful strength. Suddenly he stepped back and patted me on my stomach. "Mary," he said, "you're getting fat." "Yes," I said, "isn't that wonderful?" Joseph frowned, puzzled. "It's good to be fat?" he said. "Well," I said, "there's a good reason why I'm fat. A little tiny reason deep down inside of me." Joseph frowned harder. "Mary, is this a riddle?" I giggled and giggled and pinched his big nose. "It's better than a riddle," I laughed. "It's a living thing. Yesterday, Joseph, I felt that little tiny reason wiggle in my stomach." "Wiggle?" Joseph said. "How can a reason wiggle?" "Oh, Joseph," I shouted, "it's a baby. I'm going to have a baby." "A baby?" he said. "Yes, this is what God is doing for us, a baby." I put my arms out so that he could hug me again, but he didn't. Joseph's frown grew darker and darker, like the cloud. "This is impossible," he said, unless. "It's a baby straight from God," I said. "Won't you hug me, Joseph?" He lowered his head. He didn't look at me. His frown got so hard that it broke, and only sadness was left. And I saw tears running from his eyes. "Joseph, please hug me," I said. "Oh, Joseph, hug me again." But he turned away from me, and he went into his house, and he shut the door, and I was left alone. It wasn't his baby, you see. He thought it belonged to another man, but we were betrothed. If I was having a baby by another man, then this was a wicked sin. "Joseph, I didn't sin," I shouted through the door. "Truly, I did not sin against God, and I did not sin against you." He didn't answer me. He didn't say anything. He didn't come out again. Finally, I went to my own house and I fell on my bed and I burst into tears. And all day long, I cried. "Joseph is a good man, strong and true. He always obeys the laws of God. And because he thought that I had sinned, I knew exactly what he was planning to do. He was going to divorce me and never see me again. And that's why I was crying so hard. That night, my mother brought me some soup, but I told her I wasn't hungry and to leave me alone. And early the next morning, my father came into my room and said, "You haven't slept all night." I said, "Leave me alone." He said, "Should I tell Joseph to leave you alone too?" "Joseph," I whispered, "is Joseph here?" "Yeah, just outside the door." I jumped up and rushed outside, and there he was. There was my one dear Joseph, big as a bear. He wasn't frowning anymore, so I went to him, and yes, he hugged me so hard that we both started crying together. He said, "I was going to divorce you." I said, "I know." He said, "But last night the angel of the Lord came to me in my sleep and told me that our baby is from God. He said that we should name the baby Jesus." "Jesus," I whispered, "that's exactly what the angel told me too. Oh, Joseph, I was so lonely. I thought you were never coming back to me." "Well," he said, "the real reason why I came is to ask, will you come home with me right now? Mary, I want you to be my wife starting now and lasting as long as we both live." Oh, how the birds sang in the sky that day while I went home with my new husband, Joseph the carpenter, strong and true. You see, Yeshi, 6 months before you were born, a good man promised to love you as much as I do, your adopted daddy, Joseph. Sleep, my child. Sleep tonight, and soon I will tell you the very best part of your birthday story. When Mary comes into the room on this night, Jesus is already lying on the straw mattress with his eyes squeezed shut. Mary whispers, "Is my baby sleeping?" The boy makes a tiny giggle, but he squeezes his eyes even tighter. "Well, I guess I'd better go," Mary says. "I wanted to tell Yeshi the absolute best part of his birth story, but since he's already sleeping, it's too late. Mommy, Mommy, wait!" Jesus shoots up from the mattress and almost knocks his mother over. "Oh, Yeshi," Mary laughs. "You woke up so fast. Were you having a dream?" She kisses him and lies down on the mattress with him, both heads on the goat hair pillow. "Okay," Mary says, "I told you about my love and Joseph's love, about how the angel came first to me and then to your adopted daddy. Now comes the best love in all the world. And this time, Yeshi, angels come on account of you." God's love. 6 months after we were married, Joseph the carpenter, strong and true, strapped a cloth saddle to the back of our donkey. Then he lifted me up and put me on that saddle, and then he started to lead the donkey south. We walked 1 day, and 2 days, and 3 days. Joseph had to be strong to lift me up, Yeshi. You were as big as a watermelon inside of me. Sometimes you kicked so hard that you made bumps poke out of my stomach. Oh, you were ready to be born all right, and I was very, very tired. But we had to go to Bethlehem. That's the town where your great-great-great-granddaddy was born, David, the king of Israel. All the people in the empire had to go to the cities of their great-granddaddies, you see, so that we could be counted for the official records. Well, just after sunset on the 3rd day of traveling, we came to the little town of Bethlehem. I was so tired and so sore, and now it was getting dark. There were hundreds and hundreds of strangers walking up and down the roads, and no one even said hello to us. Joseph led the donkey to a low stone house and knocked. And when a woman opened the door, he said, "Do you have a place where my wife and I can lie down for the night?" The woman swung the door wide open, and we could see that mattresses had already been unrolled over every inch of the floor. "No," she said. She shut the door. And suddenly I screamed at the top of my lungs with all my might, "Joseph!" He rushed over to me shouting, "What's the matter?" I had such a big pain in my stomach that I could scarcely talk. "The baby's coming," I croaked. "The baby wants to be born right now." Poor Joseph. He started knocking on the doors of every house in sight. "My wife is having a baby, do you?" "Nope, nothing." I hollered, "Hurry, Joseph, hurry, hurry." "My wife needs somewhere to lie down." "Go away, we don't want any beggars here. Please help us, go away." By now the night was pitch black. All the muscles in my stomach were pushing, pushing, and trying to make the baby come. I tried not to scream again, but I couldn't help it. I opened my mouth and released a scream as bright as a burning arrow. "Joseph, we can't wait anymore." Right then, he was by my side. He had a wild look in his eyes. He cried, "Mary, I know where to go." And he led the donkey quickly to the last house in the city, around to the back of that house, and down to a small cave where travelers tether their animals overnight. "Here," he shouted, and in we went. He lit an oil lamp. I saw the faces of the animals watching us. Even the birds woke up to watch. Joseph lifted me down and lay me on some clean straw. I said, "Lord, Lord, come help me now." And I pushed. Oh, Yeshi, how I pushed. I pushed so hard I could have moved a boulder uphill. And suddenly, there you were. Little tiny baby, so beautiful in your face. You made a wonderful squawk to prove you were alive, and I loved you. I washed you, Jesus, and I rubbed you with salt till your skin grew bright, and I kissed you, and I wrapped you in strips of clean cloth from your chest to your toes, and I laid you in a manger, and you grinned at me, and I laughed for joy, and all the animals watched, and the little birds sang, and Joseph the carpenter, strong and true, brought some water for me and 2 kisses for you. We loved you, Yeshi, both of us, but someone loved you even more than we did. God in heaven loved you. And how do I know? Because of the angels who came to sing. You see, that night there were shepherds watching their sheep in a valley outside of Bethlehem. At the moment you were born, they saw a bolt of lightning drop from heaven and hit the hill in front of them. It was an angel. It was the angel of the Lord, and the shepherds fell flat in the grass and covered their eyes. "No," said the angel, "don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news, joyful news, news for all the people. Listen, this very night in Bethlehem, a baby has been born. A baby now, a savior forever. And who do you think he is? Why, he is Christ the Lord." The shepherds started to peep up at the angel. The angel grinned. "And this is how you find him," he said. "He's wrapped in strips of clean cloth and lying in a manger." One by one, the shepherds stood up. And then suddenly, all the stars of the night started to move. They streaked through the darkness like comets. They whirled closer and closer to the earth. And just as the shepherds saw that the stars were angels, well, the angels burst into a beautiful chorus. "Glory, glory, glory to God in the highest of high, and on earth peace, peace to the people with whom he is pleased." Yeshi, I heard the star angels sing, and almost as soon as their song was done, here came those shepherds running to our little cave. They came to see you. They gazed at you with shining eyes of gladness and of awe. A woman shepherd leaned forward and kissed you in the middle of your forehead. You opened your eyes and looked at her, and she covered her mouth. That shepherd, she wept tears of pure joy. Do you see how strong for you was the love of God? It filled the humble people too, and when they went out into the night, I could hear them singing just like the angels, singing glory to God on account of you. Go to sleep, my child. Go to sleep now, Jesus. I kiss you too in the middle of your forehead. When the time is right, I must tell you one more part of the birthday story, the part that taught me why you were born and why you came into this world. Good night, my child. Sleep tight while you can before you become a man. Good night. Tonight, Mary takes her son into her arms and kisses his forehead. "The angel told us to name you Jesus," she whispers in his ear, "and so we did, 8 days after you were born. But the angel also told us what that name means, and now it's time for you to know the meaning because it explains what you will do when you grow up. Yeshi, Jesus means he will save his people from their sins." About a month after you were born, a very old man named Simeon made a prophecy about your future. He said that you were going to be the salvation of every nation everywhere, a very good thing. But then he said that you would be like a stone, and people would stub their toes against you, and fall down because of you, and blame you, and hate you. Oh, Yeshi, that is not good, and that makes me very sad. "Such hard things to come," Mary whispers. Simeon said that it would feel like a sword going through my soul. "Come, lie down. You are old enough now to hear the last part of your birth story. There is love for you in this part, too, from wise men and from strangers, but there is also danger and hatred. After old Simeon talked to us, Yeshi, I learned that the greatest loving in your life will not be the love that comes to you. No, it will be the love that goes out from you to the whole wide world. That, dear Jesus, is the real meaning of your name. Your love for all the world. Joseph and I found a little house in Bethlehem where we lived for several years. During that time, you learned to crawl and then to walk, and very soon you learned to talk. Abba, you said. Your first word was Abba, or Father. Oh, Yeshi, you ran and laughed in the sunlight like any child. You smeared your face with fresh grapes. The birds seemed to laugh at the sight of you, and wherever your adopted daddy carried his toolbox, you followed, chattering like the sparrows. Life was so happy in Bethlehem that we thought we might stay there forever, but then the danger came, and we had to leave suddenly in the middle of the night. Here's how it started. One afternoon, you ran into the house with your eyes round as millstones. Doggies! Big doggies! You shouted. You threw your arms wide open and shouted, horsies! Elephants! You raced outside, and you raced in again, shouting, Mommy! Mommy, come out! Men are here on elephants! I stepped to the door and saw your elephants, but I didn't laugh. I held my breath in wonder at the scene before me. There were camels come to our little house, and on the camels, men who had traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles across the desert from foreign lands to Bethlehem. What? I said, what do you want? We have come, they said, to worship the one who has been born king of the Jews. But there's no king here, I said, just a carpenter and his poor family. No. You are wrong, said one of them, an old man with a long white beard. Look, he said, and he pointed to the sky. I came out and looked up and saw a bright star in the daylight sky right over our little house. We are called the Magi, wise men, said the second foreigner, young and ruddy and beardless. We can read the stars as if they were words on a page, and that star says that the child who lives in this house is the king we are seeking. You, Yeshi, they had come to see you. The third man was an African with a heavy beard. He said, the old King Herod told us to look in Bethlehem. He invited us into his palace and told us that the Christ was supposed to be born here. And then he smiled and he asked us to come back and tell him how to find the child himself. He said he wanted to worship the new king too. Yeshi, you were not even 2 years old. But after the wise men said these things, I saw you change. All at once, you seemed to be 1,000 years old. You walked into the house, you sat down with your back to the wall, and folded your arms and waited for the Magi to come to you. I said in my soul, who is this child? One by one, the men came in. One by one, they kneeled down before you. One by one, they placed gifts at your feet, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I shuddered. Because gold belongs to kings, and frankincense is given to God, and myrrh is what we put on the people we love when they die. Oh, Yeshi, such a glorious future was laid out before you then, and the worship of the wise men was if the whole world had come to know you and to honor you. That night, the foreigners stayed with us in our humble house. After supper, we all lay down to sleep, Joseph and you and I in one room, and the three visitors in another. In the middle of the night, two men started to groan. Their groanings grew louder and louder, frightening me. One was the African Magi. I couldn't help him. But the other man was your adopted daddy, so I shook him and shook him until he woke up, and then he went to wake the other man, too. Well, they both had been having dreams. The African's dream warned him never to go back to King Herod. All the wise men should travel home by a different route. And in your daddy's dream, the angel of the Lord said that we should run away as fast as we could. He said to flee to Egypt because old King Herod wanted to kill you, Yeshi. So we all left. The Magi went east on their camels, and we went south on a donkey. And this is the news we heard. In 7 days, King Herod became an angry man, a crazy man. Where are the Magi? He yelled. Why aren't they coming back to me? If they don't tell me where the baby king lives, how can I find him to kill him? The king stuck his head out a palace window and roared his horrible orders. I am king of the Jews. No one should be king except me. Never, never. Soldiers, go down to Bethlehem and kill every boy child who is less than 2 years old. Even in Egypt, we learned of this sin. Even in Egypt, we heard the sad wailing of all the mothers who had lost their little boys. But soon the angel came to see us for the last time, bringing the news that set us free. Terrible King Herod is dead, the angel said, and now he isn't the king of anything. The angel gazed at us with his marvelous eyes and spoke with a voice as gentle as breezes in the cedar trees. Go home, he said. Take your child back to Nazareth and raise him there to be both strong and wise, and he shall be precious to God forever. Mary pulls the woolen blanket up to the chin of her child. That's it, she whispers. That's your story. It is happy and it is sad. There is danger in the world, Yeshi, and hatred and sin, and when you grow up, these things will hurt you. Mary leans down to Jesus and touches her forehead to his. But when you grow up, she murmurs, you will be the one to heal the dangers and hatred and sin of the world. One day all the children will know you, Yeshi. They will hear your birthday story, and they will be happy because you love them and everyone according to the meaning of your name, Jesus. You love them enough to save them from their sins.
Turn with me to song number 4. Song number 4 in your white Christmas booklets.
For God so loved us, he sent the Savior. For God so loved us, he loved me too. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praise. God loves his children, loves even me. He sent the Savior, the blessed Redeemer. He sent the Savior to set me free. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises. God loves his children, loves even me. He bade me welcome, O Lord of mercy. He bade me welcome, O voice divine. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises.
Song number 1. Song number 1, and the chorus is a response to the song we just sang, to the love that God has given us. And so we're faced with a response if we're going to adore him with our lives or if we're going to do otherwise. So I invite you to stand and sing this as a prayer. Song number 1.